Hey everybody, it's Friday, and that means it's time for another movie review.
Yeah, we got a good one today. This one is Westworld.
Right.
1973.
Yes, the original. So, you know, we did new sci-fi last week, so this week we're going to do some old sci-fi, because the 70s is pretty much our favorite decade for, at least for horror and sci-fi type movies.
Yeah, it was a weird time. Not a lot had been done.
Yeah.
And a lot of the really big names were just starting to come up at this time. You know, this is Michael Crichton, and he ended up doing, actually, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and among many other things.
And if you ask me, I didn't see it when it came out new. Of course, of 73, I was only maybe 4 years old. But when I first watched this movie, especially towards the end with Yul Brynner, this is the inspiration for the Terminator.
It definitely is. There is so much in this that is reflected in the Terminator. And and I didn't realize that I probably haven't seen this movie since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And then we recently saw it again because we got the Blu-ray. And the more I watched it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely the Terminator.
Yeah, you know, when you watch Westworld, once you take your favorite parts of this movie and condense it down, that's pretty much what you got in Terminator. Terminator was just more of that and more extreme.
It was just a different setting. It was kind of like taking the second half of Westworld and just like putting it in the modern day city instead of Old West or whatever.
Old West, yeah.
But it was a very similar kind of premise.
Yeah, okay, so what's the background on this movie?
No, okay, so this movie was actually written and directed by Michael Crichton, who obviously, like I said, you know, Jurassic Park is probably his most famous, but he wrote a million other books, Disclosure and all this other stuff. Now, in 1973, he had written several well-received novels. He actually started out as a medical doctor, which most people know, and he had written the Andromeda Strain and a few other books. Now, this was the first movie that he directed.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Andromeda Strain. We're going to get back to Andromeda Strain because that was a good movie.
Yeah. And someone actually just requested that a week ago.
And that's been on this list for a long time.
Yeah.
Because this is one of that's a really good movie.
Yeah, I really
And there's another one kind of related to this. I'm going to go ahead and tease that one.
Okay.
We're going to do Demon Seed.
Yeah, we definitely have to do Demon Seed.
Is even more so an inspiration in a certain way to Terminator.
Yeah.
If you were to take Demon Seed and Westworld and kind of mash them together, that would be Skynet and Terminator.
Yeah.
Basically.
You can see where James Cameron got that.
You can see where they got,
Okay, so Michael Crichton, this was, like I said, he was a successful novelist. This was the first movie that he was allowed to direct. MGM gave him a little over $1 million. He wasn't a proven director, so they said, well, here, try this out. You have to do sci-fi. He said, I didn't really want to do sci-fi when I started out, but that's apparently what everybody thinks I'm good at, so they gave me money to do that. Now, he had been asked why he didn't write Westworld as a book, but he said, well, the reason was that when I thought about it, he said, because the theme parks that make up the bulk of the story, he's like, because they were based so much on old Hollywood and old TV cliches about those particular historical periods, he's like, so I felt that it had to be a visual story. Like, I didn't really think it would work on the page. So he decided to do it as a movie. As I said, MGM directed this, and MGM at that time, they kind of had a bad reputation among filmmakers for, excessive meddling in the script and the casting and things like that. Michael Crichton was assured that he wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah.
He did have some of these problems with, MGM kind of messing with the script and saying, put this in, take this out. And also, I don't think the casting was actually finalized until 2 days before they started shooting.
Right. Talking about cast in this movie, they cast one of my all-time favorites, and that was Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner was rad.
Yul Brynner was actually like the original Terminator, which is kind of surprising because he's kind of a sawed-off little fuck, actually. You know, he's not probably about my size, maybe 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah.
But there's something about Yul Brynner with his face and the way he moves. He's a powerful little dude.
Yeah.
He looks very powerful.
He has a very intimidating looking face, facial expression.
He's kind of like something from like a Siberian look to him, almost slightly oriental. He looks really cool. Bald head.
And plus he has very fluid, graceful movements. He's very cat-like.
Yeah, a little cat man.
Which I think really kind of helped him in this role. Now, I've read that Michael Crichton actually wrote the role of the gunslinger with Yul Brynner in mind because he wanted to base the character around Yul Brynner's character from The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, right.
So if you see him in The Magnificent, he looks exactly the same as he looked in The Magnificent Seven, same outfit and everything.
Right.
So that's kind of the thing he was going for, like I said. So the whole premise of the movie, and we're kind of going to get into this a little bit, because when I was watching this, we were kind of like...
We were laughing at it.
Like, I love the movie, but if you can't think about it too hard.
No.
Is what I'm saying. You can't think about the premise too hard. Okay, one thing I do really like about this movie is they don't really have too much exposition.
No, you're
like,
not even sure.
Like, there's not a lot of character development.
Yeah, you're not even sure who's people, what their names are.
Yeah, I think they're only named one time.
Right, yeah.
Like, the two main guys are pretty much the only characters that are named, except maybe a couple of the robots.
Right.
And their names are John and Peter. They're played by James Brolin from Amityville Horror, but he's beardless in this.
Yeah.
And,
it took us a while to recognize him. Yeah. Actually, that is
beard. And also Richard Benjamin.
Yeah, this is an amusement park. They're going to go into this amusement park.
They're paying $1,000 a day, and that's in 1973 money.
Yeah.
And I checked, that is almost equivalent to $6,000 a day in today's money.
Yes, these are ultra rich.
So yeah, these are rich ass people.
Yeah.
So they're paying $1,000 a day to go to this theme park. It's called, the whole theme park is called Delos.
Delos, yeah.
But they actually have three worlds. Now, right. Michael Crichton has said that he got this idea about the androids and everything like that from Disneyland, Disney World, the Hall of Presidents. He's like, the androids they had. So he's like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a whole park like that, except taken to the nth degree.
Yeah, there were three different sections.
Right.
A Wild West section.
Yeah, Westworld, obviously.
An ancient Roman section and a medieval section. And you could choose whichever one you wanted to go to. And of course, each one kind of offered its own thing, you know?
Yeah.
The Rome, of course, was all just about wild sex and partying.
Well, see, to me, it seems like Roman world, which was actually, I don't know if they mentioned this. I think they mentioned it once in the movie, but it was supposed to be Pompeii.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully without that whole Mount Vesuvius thing.
Right.
Another because thing that would kind of put a damper on
another thing
vacation.
That we failed to remember is that the movie came out in 73, and this is supposed to be predicting the very distant future of 1983.
Yeah, and I don't know if they mentioned that in the movie either, but on the Wikipedia page, it says that this is supposed to be taking place in 1983.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's adorable that they thought
that they thought they could do
that
androids.
They would have androids that were like indistinguishable from humans in just 10 short years.
And this badass hovercraft that takes them there.
Yeah,
to
they
the
do
park.
Show the hovercraft.
Yeah, it looks kind of like one of those little Martian flying machines from that old War of the Worlds, you know, the Martian walking machine. That's what it looked like to me, kind of.
Okay, so basically they have these three parks, and they are supposed to be completely immersive.
Yeah.
You are supposed to go into your chosen world, and there's all these androids that look indistinguishable from people, except for their hands are not quite right. That's the only thing that distinguishes them.
Which is kind of weird. They could duplicate the human mind, but they couldn't duplicate the hand, of course.
Yeah, that was one of the things they were like, oh, they can't get the hands just right or whatever. So, like I said, it's supposed to be totally immersive. So you can go, you can get in sword fights in medieval world, you can have orgies in Roman world, and it's fine because it's androids, and that's what their job is.
Yeah, and they can't hurt you. That they program.
Or so they say.
So they say, yeah.
And, that's kind of the funny thing. The movie starts out with, like, a fake commercial for this theme park where people are coming from the little Delos thing and the guy is interviewing them. Where did you go? You know, medieval Europe.
Yeah.
And I had a sword fighter. I was the king, or I banged the queen or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I especially like the one, she was like a kind of older lady, and she's like, she was in Roman world. And she was just like,
the men.
She was like, that was some good shit.
That was really the main problem with this movie when I was watching it. I recommend the movie. It's a good movie to watch if you want to see where things came from, like you want to see where the Terminator came from.
Yeah.
But the problem, if you ask me, with the movie is that about the first one-third of the movie is useless exposition, because the audience of 1973 has to be explained what an android is, and they have to be explained what a service like that would offer you. Nowadays we hear about worlds filled with androids and we instantly know what they're talking
about.
Yeah,
you know what that is, so you don't need it explained to you. Wait a minute, don't you mean robot?
Right, robot. Yeah, they say robot on several occasions.
I'm not sure where, at some point, because it seems to me that every sci-fi movie from like the early to mid 70s, they said robot.
Robot instead of robot.
But some then after... Did. The late 70s to the early 80s, then people started saying robot. So I was like, everybody just kind of decided that they were going to pronounce it correctly suddenly.
Yeah, robot started to sound too lame, I guess. Robot may have been a California thing.
Robot.
Robot.
So it...
And most of the actors are from California, so they just happened to say robot.
It just makes me think of a giant metal ass.
Yeah.
Or robot. So the thing is, so they do the commercial, and when the two guys, John and Peter, are going to the park. Now, John, who's played by James Brolin, he has been there before.
Yeah, he's like on his second time.
He went to Westworld before. Now, his little nebbishy friend, played by Richard Benjamin.
With a porn stash.
With the porn stash.
Yeah.
He had never been before. So that's where
He's all stash. No arms or anything. Little scrawny guy with just stash.
All of his muscles are stored in his mustache.
Yeah.
So he has a powerful mustache that'll punch you, kind of like Chuck Norris's one.
Yeah, he's a dweeb. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So he's very dweeby and he's like, doesn't really know how it works and he's never been before.
Right.
So that's kind of how a lot of the exposition happens, where with James Brolin telling his friend, like, oh, it's you do this and that.
Yeah, you can actually have sex with these robots. Oh, you can? This is my first time.
Yeah.
It's just really, really.
He's a virgin.
Yeah.
He's an android virgin.
Yeah, real cringy guy.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's kind of the whole point of it is that, you know.
He's supposed to be cringy.
That he's supposed to be cringy, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like the audience surrogate.
Actually, most of the guys paying to go to this world are cringy.
Well,
overweight, middle-aged
that
guys.
That was actually the most realistic part of it,
yeah.
I thought, because here's the thing. Westworld, the whole premise, the whole reason why you would choose to go to Westworld for a vacation, this is a vacation.
Yeah.
You're paying $1,000 for this.
Yeah.
Is because you want to get in gunfights.
Yeah, you
want to
be a badass.
You know, get in bar brawls and bang saloon chicks.
Yeah.
Right? So you're spending your whole vacation to get your ass beat, pretty much.
Or to beat other people's asses.
And
they can't really resist, really. They can just pretend to resist.
Because they're programmed to let you win. Or to let you do whatever. Like, if you hit on the girls, they're programmed to like be, oh, you're the most wonderful
thing. Yeah, it would suck.
So to me, and since Westworld is supposed to be like immersive, you know, there's no running water. It's just
1800s.
It's a Western town.
Yeah.
In the desert. So I just don't see that being any fun.
Yeah, which means Roman world would have like vomitoriums and things like that. Actually, I think they went ahead and said that for the most part, the sections of this theme park are based upon novels. Of the period, not the reality.
Yeah,
of the period.
They're based around an idealized.
Yeah,
obviously, so you're not going to like medieval world and getting bubonic plague,
right?
Like that,
and not having toilet paper,
right. And stuff. Because really, that does not sound like much
fun
at all.
I think what's really cool about the movie is that once it starts rolling, you find out that the technicians who built this world are having a problem with something they describe as a disease that jumps from one robot to the next and affecting their behavior, which is probably one of the first concepts of computer virus.
Yeah. This is actually, they don't use the word virus.
They don't
virus,
use the word computer
but
virus.
But the way they describe it is
they're
a computer virus.
They're talking
and
about
it. And as far as I know, this is the first film reference to a computer virus.
Yeah. Now, one of the gunslingers in Westworld, one of the models there that keeps getting shot up and keeps getting its ass whipped by the nebbishes that visit it is the gunslinger that is played by Yul Brynner. Somehow or another, this robot gets destroyed a couple times and it's upgraded each time, and it picks up this computer virus along with all the other robots in all three.
Yeah, Westworld is like the last one that's affected.
Right, and this robot seems to become semi-sentient.
Yeah.
And goes on a mission of revenge to try to hunt down the guys that have shot him a couple of times. And that's really when this program, if you ask me, gets interesting. Because it becomes the inspiration for Terminator.
Right.
Guys running from basically an indestructible little mechanical man.
Yeah.
That's a badass with guns. And you really can't hurt him. You can't beat him to death. They threw acid on him. They threw fire on him. And he doesn't respond to it in the same way a human would. And that's really the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
It's the prototype for the Terminator.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Now, so here's the thing. Now, the problems of the movie, like I said, I really like this movie and it's really enjoyable. And you can see and I also forgot to mention too, not only is this the first mention of the concept of a computer virus, this is also the first movie to use technically CGI.
Yeah.
And they only used it with Yul Brynner. When you're seeing through his eyes, everything looks pixelated and infrared. And so that's...
Which that gets lifted out of the Terminator. When you see through the Terminator's eyes in infrared, and you see the computer pointing things out and highlighting machines.
Yeah.
Actually, Yul Brynner's robot, his character is kind of doing that too. Except it looks pixelated.
Yeah.
And then he can also see infrared footprints Remember that?
Right, like heat signatures and things like that, like a horse's.
Right, because they upgraded his vision and his hearing because he kept getting shot up too much. I mean, oh, we're going to put the new infrared units in.
Because that was his whole thing, Yul Brynner's gunslinger character. He was supposed to be the guy that instigated gunfights.
Yeah, the little
that the guests wanted to get into. So he would go in a bar and start giving you shit.
Yeah, he was a little Napoleonic gunfighter.
Yeah, basically. And then like the guests would be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna blow your freaking head up, and then they'd get to shoot him and be like, I got to kill a man, except not really.
Right.
So so that was like his whole deal. Now
and Yul looks badass.
He really does look badass in this. He's very scary in this.
He's all in black. He's got that little face of his with that bald head and those eyes. And in this movie, his eyes glaze out and turn white.
Yeah.
Sometimes when that virus starts kicking in. Yeah, they're kind of shiny. In. Right. And you kind of like when he's becoming semi-sentient. You can, like,
and he doesn't really say anything either other than draw. Or it's
your move. Well, he says other stuff too. Remember, he says, you like a baby.
Or something about
needs
that
his
guy's
mama.
Yeah, that guy's spilling his drink or whatever. Yeah, so that's his whole thing to go around instigating gunfights. Now,
He does it in a Russian accent in that cowboy outfit. It's pretty cool. Which actually is pretty accurate. 1800s was filled with European immigrants.
Yeah.
If you were a badass in your hometown, you could come to America and become even a badder ass with those Colt 45s.
A badder ass. Okay, so here's the thing, though. And here's where, even though I really like this movie, here's where you have to suspend your disbelief somewhat.
Yeah.
Because one, like I said, 1973, it's kind of hard to believe that in 1983 you're going to have androids that are indistinguishable from humans.
Yeah.
And the more that the exposition, the people that run the park are saying, like, nothing can possibly go wrong, nothing can possibly hurt you.
Right.
You're just like, you know what? Even if you didn't know that this was like a sci-fi horror movie, obviously that cannot be the case.
Yeah, and they also had the guns rigged to where none of the guns could actually shoot a human being. They could only shoot robots.
Right, because, supposedly...
But they could punch each other. All kinds of weird things, throwing chairs on each other. How could you not get hurt?
See, that's the problem I had. Because now, before they said the thing about the guns, because they did address that. Because I was like, well, wait a minute, how... Because you can't distinguish the other guests from the robots.
Right.
It's like, well, what if you shoot a real person? Like, are they just going to hush it up? Or what is that about? But then, James Brolin explains to his buddy, he's like, oh, well, no, the guns have sensors in them that will only let you shoot something that's not warm-blooded or like, you know, below a certain temperature.
Right.
I'm like, okay, but the swords in medieval world don't have that. Your fists don't have that.
Thrown from horses, and they had robot horses.
Yeah, they had robot horses.
They had robot rattlesnakes.
Yeah. And the thing is that during one big climactic scene, the two guests they have a big fun bar brawl.
Yeah.
And they're getting thrown through windows. They're having chairs thrown at them and they're getting punched and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm like, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
And there could be accidents even before the robots go ape shit.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever happens with the virus. It's like, it just seems really easy for something to go wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, what if you shot at the gunslinger, say?
And there's a ricochet.
And it ricocheted and it hits you in the face.
Yeah, or it's somebody else. Right?
That's what I mean. It just seems like...
It was implausible.
The legal ramifications of this theme park, if it really existed, would just be... It wouldn't be worth it.
Although one of the guys in the control room said, well, there is some danger. That's the appeal of it. So maybe it was 1973 sensibilities in terms where... Maybe you signed a waiver.
You have to sign a waiver that if you got killed, you couldn't see them.
Might have been
because
something like
that. At the end of it, with, you know, the one guy that was left and everything, and he's just sitting there like, you know, looking like, oh man, how'd this all happen? I'm like, and he's a lawyer. That's one of the only things you know about him. He's a lawyer. And I'm like, he is going to sue the shit out of everybody when he gets home.
Yeah. The movie's worth seeing. We probably shouldn't spoil everything about it, about how it goes down. Cause really all the interesting stuff is in like the last half of the movie when you have Yul Brynner
just chasing. Yeah. It becomes essentially just a relentless kind of
it's
chase, like a horror movie kind
very reminiscent of the Terminator.
I think also that Yul Brynner's character was also a little bit the inspiration for Michael Myers.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe. As like just kind of emotionless thing that was just coming after you and couldn't stop and you couldn't relate a story.
I can see that.
I've heard that too, But Terminator, definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about it, like
if
I said...
If you cut the boring parts out of Westworld, put a motorcycle chase and have an 18-wheeler blow up, add a little bit of stop motion, Okay. And then that puppet that the guy was wearing on his back.
Yeah.
That would be Terminator. You'd have all the, you'd have all the necessary elements to make a Terminator movie, but it would have been in 1973.
Yeah.
They should have slightly rethought it because it could have been a really good action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems more like it doesn't really get into like the action of the chase or anything until the last part of it because they spend really the first two thirds of the movie setting up how the park works.
Yeah.
And following other characters, like other guests at the park, like doing, like Dick Van Patten is in this.
Right.
And he's kind of like this fat, pudgy guy. Right. He's an Old West. He wants to be the sheriff. And
I have a feeling that the setup, actually, even in 1973, was considered to be kind of dull. Had they retold this story slightly and gotten rid of all that and had a more chase scenes and more action with Yul Brynner, I think it would have done a lot better. Even though this movie was not a failure, it made 10 times its investment.
It was very successful. In fact, it was so successful that they made a sequel in 1976 called Future World, which I haven't seen, although I've heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
They also made a TV series.
Yeah, five episodes.
In 1980 called Beyond Westworld.
Yeah.
Now, I have not, only five episodes were made and only three aired because the ratings were abysmal.
Yeah. Well, our DVD or our Blu-ray came with the pilot
episode. And I can see why.
Yeah, not good.
I can see why nobody wanted to watch that.
It wasn't poorly made. It was poorly conceived. What they were trying to do would not have been interesting.
Well, it didn't have much to do with the original concept.
No.
Other than androids, it had androids in it, but it didn't really have much to do with the theme park idea, which is what I think everybody liked about the movie.
It was just androids trying to take over the world.
Yeah, like they're trying to take over a nuclear submarine or something.
Would have been like the genesis of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it was just like that. Right. But like I said,
but without all the cool, shiny Cylons.
Right.
But so... That was Star Wars.
Like I said, the whole thing about the whole thing about Westworld, the original movie, was the theme park.
Right. And Yul Brynner made Westworld.
Yeah.
Too. That
now,
gunslinger.
Yul Brynner was in the sequel, Future World, like I said, but he was the only returning cast member. Okay. But
well,
like I said,
he made the first one.
Yeah. Right. But like I said, I haven't seen it. But I've seen maybe one person review it that said they liked it better than the original, but then everyone else is like, yeah, it's awful.
Right.
And I will also admit, obviously, that HBO has made a Westworld series.
The first
season has aired. The second season is going to air.
Yeah.
I admit I have not seen that either, but I've heard very good things about it. So eventually I would like to get around to seeing that. Because I do like that concept. Because I like the concept of Epcot and Disney World where it's like this immersive world that you wouldn't normally get to experience. But like I said, there's some things about Westworld that probably need to get tweaked some to make it more believable, especially in this day and age. Because to me, like we were saying... Obviously, Roman World is the only one worth going to.
Right,
because at least they have swimming pools and feasts and orgies and wine.
Yeah, and it looked like it was pretty comfortable.
And comfortable togas.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to Medieval World, you got to wear all those hot clothes.
Armor.
There's like sword fights.
You
got to
joust all day.
Yeah, it's like that just doesn't sound like much fun. It sounds like work.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, well, where is the sit around on my ass eating cupcakes without gaining weight world? That's the world I want to vacation in.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back and live in some bad historical time period.
I think that pretty much wraps it up with this, though. I mean, I would probably put it not quite on par with Demon Seed. Demon Seed is a lot better.
Demon Seed is very underrated, too.
Very underrated. Like. But I would recommend the movie just to see it for kind of historical purposes. Like, this is where the Terminator came from.
Yeah, I think it was very influential.
Yeah, if you're a Terminator fan, Terminator 1 fan, you should probably see this.
And Yul Brynner is definitely the highlight of this movie. But like I said, just kind of turn your brain off and don't think about it too much.
Right.
And, you know, especially that one part where... You know where the control room, they have to shut everything down because all the robots are going amok, or running amok. And they're just like, oh, well, now we're shutting the room and we can't breathe.
Right.
And I'm like, you think they would have worked out a fail? We could make androids that are just like humans, but we can't make a fail-safe where it doesn't, like, shut us in a room.
It's just weird because Demon Seed was around this time and it was just so much more realistic and actually so much more frightening.
Yeah.
Demon Seed was weird.
Yeah.
And we got to do a show on that soon.
We definitely will. Yeah. So, yeah, Demon Seed we got to do. We got to do Andromeda Strain, which was another Michael Crichton.
Yeah, that's right.
And
there.
I haven't seen that in ages. He did Coma as well.
Right.
And
Andromeda Strain is better than Westworld, I think.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I do remember liking that a great deal.
Yeah.
So hopefully you enjoyed this look back at Westworld from 1973, kind of a cool, influential little sci-fi flick. And especially if you like the, you know, the HBO series from last year, the year before, you might want to go back. Yeah, you probably see it. Yeah, then you should probably go back and check out the Origins.
Yeah, that and Terminator 1. If you like that, then you'd probably like this.
Yeah, because you can really see the timeline, the influence
where they got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll do it for this Friday movie review. And if you would like to support the show, please remember to go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast or go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com. And there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you would like to support the show that way. And remember to check out our regular episodes, which come out every Tuesday. And I think that'll do it for this episode. Yes?
Yep, that'll do it.
All right. See you next time. Bye.